Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Before we get into this topic, one last add on Monday Night Football, Seth.
Yes.
Do you find Russell Wilson more likable, less likable, or the same amount of likable when he's mic'd up?
I actually wrote this down. There was one phrase. Oh, it was at the beginning. It was in there in the opening huddle. And he's talking to his team, and he says something about an unwavering belief. Okay. And I'm like, dude, are you reading this?
Yeah. Yes,
you have this
he
on
probably
your cheat sheet.
Yes.
Unwavering belief.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Churchill. Yeah. What the hell? He's just so, you know who he is? He's Al Gore. When he talks, it's kind of like, all right, the substance of what you're saying is good, but I'm not feeling the emotion. Yeah. You're very wooden. He's very wooden. And that's why I think that it hurts his electability.
You know what?
He also, with that haircut, he also looks like a Fraggle. And I don't. I can't respect a Fraggle.
You know what doesn't do him any favors? His social media. Because his whole thing with Sierra on social media is very, it's very cheesy and unlikable, I think. To me, it is, at least. I don't know. Maybe this is yet another brick that I'm piling onto the wall of Sean is getting old, but like I don't find him to be tremendously likable on his social media. The funny thing about Russell Wilson, I was at the Super Bowl in New Orleans back in 2012 on Radio Row when I was with my old station, and Russell Wilson had no PR person back then. That was his rookie year, and Russell Wilson, back then, John Granato and I did a local morning show, and then we did a few hours that were on the network that was owned over there. Well, Russell Wilson, and we had two different people running our Super Bowl week, one running the local and one running the national in terms of booking guests for us. And Russell Wilson, unbeknownst to us, got booked for each chunk. He got booked with us at like 6:30 in the morning on the local thing, and then at 9:15 or whatever, he shows up again like, hey guys, how you doing? Like that's how maybe just sort of unsavvy he was from a PR standpoint. He had nobody really running his stuff. I think he was kind of self-booking.
Yeah.
And people were understandably, he had people walking up to him. He had a great rookie year. Like, hey, do you want to come on with us? And, sure, okay. And so he came on with us like two times within like 3 hours of each other and was the nicest guy in the world. And you watch him, you go, this guy's an NFL quarterback and he's not walking around with a 3 or 4 person entourage. Well, sure enough, a year later, there's this massive article on SI.com about the entourage in this group, you know, like Team Russ that he built around him to book this and book that, which is probably smart instead of just sort of randomly wandering around Radio Row just doing interviews. But I found him more endearing when he was doing that. Now he feels very contrived.
Right. Well, if contrived, and I don't know, there's just something about his personality, and this is what all the various reports and the sources have said in Seattle. That's the Legion of Boom, especially. Those guys on defense were,
they're not vibing.
They did not vibe with Russell Wilson. Yeah. There's just something about him. I think the British call it a Clockwork Orange. That's where the movie came from, a Clockwork Orange, where it's like everything looks nice on the exterior, but on the inside it's all mechanical.
Yeah.
That's what you get with Russell Wilson. You don't ever feel like you're talking or listening to an actual human being. Like, it feels very, you know what? If somebody were to play him in a movie, it would be Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce is like that kind of like perfect haircut.
Yes.
Not really sure about like Guy Pearce in Hollywood Confidential.
Yeah.
Was it Hollywood Confidential?
Not sure.
Yeah, the one, but anyway, just like kind of buttoned up, does everything right, but you just can't love him.
Yeah. Well, and even like last night where he's walking up to Chris Carson.
Yeah.
And he's addressing everybody by their number. Hey, 3-2. Hey, 2-0. Hey, 9-0. Hey, 6-5. You know, like, oh, this is, hey, 7-6. Hey, 3-2. This is the time, like this is late in the game. He walks up to him. Hey, 3-2. This is the time where great players like you, you're a great player. This is where you close out things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, all right, I get it. It's the pep talk. It's just the delivery of it.
Yeah, I don't, you know what I need? You know what I need is just don't mic him up again. I want to just enjoy Russell Wilson for being the football player he is. I don't want to be constantly reminded that I probably wouldn't like hanging out with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's a hell of a quarterback, man.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. So Bill O'Brien met with the media yesterday, and understandably everybody wanted to talk about the win over the Patriots. Understandably, Bill O'Brien wanted to steer things towards moving forward to the final month of the season.
The Patriots, they're the they're the champions, right? I mean, they're the standard. They've done so many great things over the last 20 years. So I think anytime you're, you know, you have a chance to beat them, and you go ahead and you win the game, I think that's a good win. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish the win, but I think there's a lot of football left, man. You know, I mean, there is so. I mean, that's the thing, you know. And I think we've got to turn the page, and we've got to move to Denver here pretty quickly when they get back here on Wednesday. We've got to get going on Denver. Denver won last week. I would say that, you know, that was a good win, but there's a lot of football left.
I'm guessing of all the games, Seth, of all the wins that Bill O'Brien has had, especially recently where this team is being discussed on a different tier than previous O'Brien teams have been discussed, secretly, silently, inside, this one was probably the one that had the biggest disparity between how he actually felt about the win and how he actually had to say he feels about the win in the press conferences in the Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays afterwards. This one had to feel really, really good for him. It had to be a little, like, there had to be part of him, yes. I don't know, maybe not. I was going to say it had to be really tough, like holding in his emotions about this win, but it is survival mode for the Texans right now in the AFC. They're 8-4, and you're trying to, you have mathematically put yourself into a conversation where maybe a bye in the first round of the playoffs is back on the radar screen.
I would say that the thing is, because I was raised in the Parcells tree that Bill O'Brien was raised in, he's been a coach long enough now that when something good happens, you have a knee-jerk reaction to be like, nope, this is bad. And when something bad happens, the Parcells tree doesn't do as good a job of this. But ideally, like, when something bad happens, you're like, all right, nope, this is good. We're going to move on, be forward. And you're always trying to balance out and stay even-keeled. I guarantee you that that win caused Bill O'Brien some level of stress because of any guilt he felt about feeling good about it. He would say immediately afterwards, all right, I'm feeling too good. I'm not going to get caught up in this moment. I got to immediately turn the page and be on to Denver. And he actually, that's what he told his dad.
That was a really funny story on the press conference, how he talked to his...
So it's almost like, yeah, he really enjoyed that win. But by actually enjoying the win,
yeah. He
has this knee-jerk response because he's raised in the Parcells tree, not to enjoy it too much.
What a miserable existence
feel kind of guilty about feeling good about it.
Jubilation.
So like, he can't even enjoy Deshaun Watson giving him the game ball. He knows, even though intellectually I'm sure he knows it's a good moment and everything, there's a part of him it's like, this is just how they set you up to fail. this is exactly, don't taste that poison apple. We gotta just keep moving forward.
That's a really good analogy. So I got to thinking, it may sound like a crazy question, but the way that New England kind of is looked in that game, the way that Kansas City is sort of set up and maybe kind of getting their game back a little bit with Mahomes getting healthy. Which win to you is now, in retrospect, more impressive? Going on the road in week 6 to Kansas City and winning that game, or the win on Sunday night against the Patriots?
I think that it's hard, and I've been thinking about this since last night, because I think both the Chiefs and the Patriots are more flawed than they were last year. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily – they're not as big a trophy. Winning against either of those teams. And I don't mean to diminish the, like, I'm still very excited that they beat them. Don't get me wrong. But I think that the Chiefs game, just because it was on the road, and I don't know. I think the Chiefs are more dangerous in the playoffs right now in my mind. I just, because of the offense.
Okay.
And I think because of Pat Mahomes.
That's interesting. The team that's won 2 of the last 3 Super Bowls and been to the other one, has represented the AFC in the last 3 Super Bowls, is the less dangerous team right now.
It's hard. You know what it is? It feels right now with the Patriots. It's almost like I'm in a college football playoff committee, and I'm trying to think, all right, well, they've had an easy schedule. They've lost 2 of the quality opponents they've played.
Are they Baylor?
Are they actually, right? Like, what do I make of them? How good are they actually? And am I going to use previous years to judge them?
Yeah.
And this is the same thing with the Patriots.
And actually,
last
a better
year.
Analogy maybe, are they Clemson? Because Clemson's
right.
Won 2 of the last 3,
but
they've played
a horrible
schedule.
I thought about that, but Clemson, like, if they had some losses that I could look at this year or something, that would be different.
Yeah.
Like, if
Clemson, they're just destroying
everybody.
If
Clemson had played Georgia and Georgia had beat the crap out of Clemson,
yeah.
Right? So if Clemson was undefeated, or if they had one loss and it was all easy, quote-unquote easy wins, but then they got the crap beat out of them by Georgia.
Yep.
What do I think of them then?
That's right.
That's what the Patriots are right now. Do I go back to Dabo Swinney's record, and I think you do in college football.
Sure.
And you give them a little credit for that. The Patriots last year at the beginning of the playoffs, Sean, I can remember, is the guy off Andrew Filippone does a weekend show.
Pittsburgh guy.
On CBS Sports Radio. And I remember listening before one of the wild card games to Filippone, who I like a lot and who I respect a lot, getting into this huge blowout argument with one of his listeners because Filippone was saying, look, if you think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl, you're crazy. That's how people felt about the Patriots last year going to the playoffs. And they figure out a way to get it done. So that's where the Patriots lose at least one stinker of a game every year in the playoff or in the regular season, and then still go on and win the Super Bowl. But as far as regular season goes, I'm more impressed by the Kansas City wins.
Kansas City, mine is New England. I'll tell you why when we come back. But one thing both of those wins have in common that we'll discuss as well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.